This really is the best retirement brokerage bonus, I think, like not just that I've ever seen. I think it's the highest that the industry as a whole has ever seen. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 61 of The Daily Churn. Today's episode is going to be a recap of all of the things that I churned in March. March was a pretty busy month overall. It wasn't actually even because of taxes. I know a lot of us are pretty busy with taxes right now. I've sort of left my taxes until the last couple weeks in April, so that's what April is going to be about. But March, it was just a lot of churning opportunities that came up. There were a bunch of new credit card offers that were pretty exciting, plus some new credit card spend opportunities to kind of help meet minimum spend. Plus, I mean, it was a really massive month for brokerage bonuses, thanks largely to one brokerage in particular that begins with a robin and ends with a hood, plus a totally new meal kit churn that we'll cover today that I haven't done before, and I've done a lot of meal kit churns. And my P2 and I also went on a bit of a burger buying, eating spree. There were a couple really good burger discount offers in March. And we'll also dive a little deeper into the Pepper app, which I had covered a little bit in the previous monthly recap, but we'll go a little deeper because it's one of my new favorite apps for buying gift cards at a discount, which is a great option if you're trying to generate credit card spend. So pretty much all of the things this month, but just a reminder as always that you can find everything that we're going to cover today in the show notes at thedailychurnpodcast.com. There's also a live churn tracker there that shows all of the things that I'm churning in real time as I'm churning them, plus a free newsletter, a private Discord community, pretty much all the things. So definitely check it out if you haven't yet. But for now, let's get back into the March recap. I thought I'd start this episode a little differently this time and just do a quick hit of award travel news. So the previous episode I did was about how to book award flights using the various tools and processes that can make it a lot more efficient. Since posting that episode, I've gotten some really good comments about other tools that I hadn't covered before that were new to me and I've been trying out over the last couple of weeks that I'm really excited about and I wanted to share quickly with you guys. First one being awardtool.com. So if you remember from the previous episode, I was like, hey, it'd be cool if Google Flights would let you search for award flights, which it doesn't. But awardtool.com is basically like a Google Flights. They basically copied the interface of Google Flights. So it looks almost exactly like Google Flights, except it's searching for award bookings. So big shout out to Isaac, John, and DuckFan101 for pointing out this tool exists because it's pretty smooth. And their pro version, I think, gives you 16 days of a search window instead of 8 days with Poinsettia. And both of their pro versions, Poinsettia and AwardTool, are pretty comparably priced, so around $90. So I think they're both pretty good options. I've been using them interchangeably and have noticed no real differences between the two. I think I still kind of lean towards Poinsettia just because I'm used to the layout and the interface. But if you're totally brand new and you prefer Google Flights, kind of a UI, definitely awardtool.com. And there's also another one that Chris over at All the Hacks pointed out, which is pointspath.com. And that one is an actual extension that you install on your browser that then overlays award pricings directly onto Google Flights. So it's sort of like what we were talking about of just having Google Flights show award bookings. Unfortunately, it doesn't show all the airlines. I think it doesn't have as much coverage as AwardTool and Poinsettia, but pointspath.com, also another great option. The other interesting announcement that happened on April 1st, so April Fool's, which I don't think it was an April Fool's joke because I went to check it out and it is actually working, is that Poinsettia now has Hotelsia, which is just like their hotels search tool, which is also something I've been wishing existed before, where you can just plug in a city and it's going to show you the award rates for various hotels in that city. Unfortunately, again, it doesn't show everything. So like one thing I noticed is it doesn't show IHG, so no intercontinental hotels show up on the award search. I wish it was full coverage, but as a starting point, it is a very useful way to kind of just figure out what are some of the award prices in a new city where you may not be familiar with all of the various chains and programs that are there in that city. And so when it comes to like the planning phase of a new trip, another tool, which I'll link to all of these tools, by the way, in the show notes, so no need to try and memorize them. But another one that was mentioned by Matt over on Discord, which I found super useful, was flightconnections.com. So what that tool does is you can plug in any destination, let's say San Francisco, and it will just show you where are all the places that planes fly to from San Francisco. Like, what are the carriers that fly out of San Francisco, direct or indirect? Because I've definitely had that question sometimes. It's like, okay, I'm, let's say, based near JFK, and I want to know what are all the direct flights leaving JFK, and maybe I want to go to Cancun. So JFK to Cancun, what are the airlines that fly directly there without stopovers? Or maybe I'm more flexible and I just know I want to go to Europe in the summer. So from JFK, what are direct flights to Europe? Like Europe as a whole, generally, you know, I'll take any flight that's direct that takes me somewhere in Europe because I don't really care where in Europe I go. So for that kind of a search where you're just trying to explore your options, flightconnections.com is a really great starting point so you can figure out what are all the airlines, the carriers, and the partners that will form the foundation of your later, more advanced searches on some of the other tools. So a lot of really, really useful, great options for planning your award flights, and very grateful for everyone for recommending and sharing those ideas. And just finally, on the award travel side of things, the other news that impacts those of us with the Wyndham Business Earners card, or those of us that have been thinking about getting the card because they bumped up the sign-up bonus to 100,000 miles, is that they've devalued their partnership with Vacasa. So Vacasa redemptions are one of the best redemption options for Wyndham points, because with Wyndham points, you can redeem them for Vacasa rentals, and 15,000 points, Wyndham points, used to be able to redeem for a vacation rental that cost up to $350 per bedroom per night after all taxes and fees. It used to be at $500, but they reduced that to $350, and now the new devaluation is it's down to $250. The kind of silver lining, though, is that they have added an option where you can redeem 30,000 points, so twice as many points, for a place that costs up to $500 per bedroom per night after all taxes and fees. The reason that's a silver lining, in my opinion, is that it means that you can actually book places that cost up to $500 per bedroom per night. Whereas before, when they reduced it down to $350, if the place cost $500 per bedroom per night, you simply just couldn't use your points for it. It was out of the point redemption range. Now, at least you can use more points to get that more expensive rental. And a lot of rentals are more expensive. You know, you'll see a lot of Vacasa rentals that are like, you know, $800, $900 per night for a two bedroom. So in the past, you wouldn't have been able to book that at all. But now you can spend 30,000 points per night in order to book it, which still ends up being a pretty good deal, because with the Wyndham Business Earners card, you get a 10% discount on your points bookings. So 30,000 points is really 27,000 points for a $500 per bedroom booking. So if you end up booking, let's say, a two-bedroom rental that goes for $1,000 a night total, you'd be able to book that now for 54,000 Wyndham points. So 60,000 with the 10% discount, 54,000. Which translates to roughly a 1.8 cent per point redemption rate, which is pretty good because it's really easy to get Wyndham points once you have that business earners card, because it earns 8 points per dollar. So 8 points per dollar, not two or three, 8 points per dollar on gas. So if you can generate some gas spend, you can accumulate Wyndham points very easily. All right, so getting back to some March churns, we're going to start with brokerages, because brokerages really carried the team in March, all thanks to Daddy Robinhood with their crazy 3% retirement account transfer match bonus. And that's the one that ends at the end of April. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about it today, because it is such an insane bonus. I mean, if you've been on the fence about the whole Robinhood transfer thing, like, I get it, you know, we all have opinions about Robinhood, mostly negative, but this really is the best retirement brokerage bonus, I think, like not just that I've ever seen, I think it's the highest that the industry as a whole has ever seen. If anyone has seen a better bonus than this, let me know in the comments because I'm curious what it was. But currently, there is nothing out there like it. And because of that, a lot of us, I think, are down to set aside our feelings about Robinhood a little bit, just kind of close our eyes and take their money. Because at the end of the day, they are a publicly traded company. Your money is SIPC insured. The insurance covers, I believe, $500,000 per account type. So let's say you transfer in a Roth IRA, that's covered by $500,000. And if you transfer in a traditional IRA, that's covered separately with another $500,000 of insurance. So at least from a risk perspective, it is risk-free. Now, if you just don't want to move it over for like moral reasons against Robinhood, that's fine. I'm not going to try and convince you otherwise. But from a risk standpoint, everything is insured. And so we've basically been consolidating everything, every retirement account that we have into Robinhood. So the one that posted for us in March was that my P2's traditional IRA account moved that over to Robinhood from Fidelity. That transfer took only a week and the bonus posted immediately after that week. So you get the whole bonus within a week. And she got like $13,618 from Robinhood immediately. And that's probably going to be the biggest bonus of the year for us. And it's only, you know, March, April. We also have some other retirement accounts that are still in process, like some Roth IRAs randomly spread out across some other brokerages. So we're really just trying to consolidate everything to Robinhood because they're offering you 3% on anything you move over. So, you know, the size of the bonus is just entirely dependent on how much retirement funds you have. And someone just giving you 3% for free on your retirement contributions is pretty crazy, which is the other thing is that Robinhood is also giving that 3%, not just on transfers, but on any contributions you make this year into any of your IRA accounts. And so for us, we were kind of on the fence about whether or not we were going to contribute to a Roth IRA this year. But now with the Robinhood 3%, we're like, probably we should just do it, right? Because you get, what is it, $6,500, I think, for 2023 that you can contribute, or $13,000 if you're a couple. So if you contribute $13,000 as a couple, Robinhood is just giving you $390 for totally free. And when I say free, it's actually completely free in this case, because the way Robinhood is posting these bonuses is also pretty crazy. They're posting these bonuses as interest in your retirement account. So you don't have to pay taxes on it. Now, if it goes into a Roth IRA, you never have to pay taxes on it at all because Roth IRA funds aren't taxed when they come out. In a traditional IRA, you would pay taxes when it comes out, but you don't owe any taxes on it today. Whereas if they posted it into, let's say, a taxable brokerage or sent you a check, you would owe taxes on it. Additionally, because they are posting this bonus as interest, it doesn't count towards your contribution limit for the year. This money they post does not count against your contributions. So you can still max out your contributions while Robinhood is posting the 3% bonus. So let's say you transferred in $100 million. Robinhood is going to post $3 million into your retirement account, which is far above what the contribution limits are for that account. But they can do it because it's being posted as interest, essentially earnings on your retirement account. The whole thing is super crazy because it's not how other companies are doing it. So the other bonus you may have been thinking about is the Webull bonus for transferring a retirement account, where they'll give you 4.5% if you refer someone, 4.5% on your transfer. And the issue with that one, though, is that it posts in 5 installments over 5 years instead of immediately with Robinhood. But more importantly, it posts into your taxable brokerage account. So you'll owe taxes on that bonus, whereas with Robinhood, it's posting as interest and you don't owe taxes. So that sort of like messes with the math, where initially 4.5% obviously is higher than 3%. But once you factor those things in, it may not actually be a good proposition. And actually, Mort over on the Discord made a really good comparison Google Sheet document, which he kindly let us share here publicly. And I'll link to that in the show notes. But basically, you can plug in your numbers to see if the Robinhood one or the Webull one is going to be better for you, depending on your tax situation. Because I think the TLDR are is that if you're in a higher than a 26% tax bracket, or you're in a state with higher income taxes, the Robinhood 3% is going to be better than the Webull 4.5%. Then, of course, the other factor that you may want to consider too is that because Webull is paying it out over 5 years, how sure are you that Webull is going to be around for the whole 5 years to honor the promo? I think the latest news is that Webull, as of February, announced that they're merging with an SPAC, I think a special purpose acquisition company. I always get that acronym confused. But, you know, these SPACs that go public and merge with other companies to essentially just try and make a bunch of money. How viable is that long term? Whereas at least Robinhood, they're already public, so they're pretty legit in that sense. And the bonus is paid immediately, so you don't have to depend on Robinhood being around. And that kind of goes into the other point of like the reason why Robinhood is even offering this 3%, which, I mean, I feel like most people agree at this point is that they're just trying to make themselves look more attractive for a future acquisition. And I think it's working. Like, I looked up the Robinhood stock earlier today, and they're up 100% over the past year, 50% in the past 3 months alone. So whatever they're doing, the investors are loving it. And I think most people are maybe thinking that an acquisition is coming down the line. So they're really trying to juice up their numbers by getting more people to join Robinhood, which isn't necessarily even a negative thing if they got acquired. Because at the end of the day, you know, what do we actually care if they got acquired? If anything, an acquisition, depending on who acquires them and how they integrate Robinhood, it might even negate some of the bonus terms like the 5-year lockup period that we're supposed to leave our funds with at Robinhood. So it could end up even being a positive that they get acquired. But that's, I think, sort of the backdrop of where all of these crazy promos are coming from, and also why Webull offered their promo, because they're also trying to go public, trying to juice up their stats. So all of that to say is that these promos are kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime type of a thing, you know? Like, it's pretty unique to the situation we're currently in with these companies that they're offering these crazy promos. And so I don't know when you're ever going to see someone just coming around being like, hey, I'm going to increase your retirement funds by 3%. That's the offer they're doing. And so that's why I've been pretty excited about it. My P2, a lot of people, even on Boggleheads, one of the most conservative like investing forums out there, most people on there seem convinced of moving over to Robinhood. So the other, I guess, final thing to consider with Robinhood too, if you do decide to do the bonus, is that it does end April 30th, and you should probably start the transfer at least a couple weeks before then, just to be safe. I don't remember if the cutoff was like you need to have initiated the transfer by April 30th, or if the transfer had to have completed by April 30th, but probably better to not leave it till the last minute. You also need Robinhood Gold to get the 3% match. If you're not familiar with Robinhood Gold, it's just their subscription, I think $5 a month. You have to do that for 12 months, so a full year of Robinhood Gold in order to not negate your bonus. Like, it's part of the bonus terms that you need to keep Robinhood Gold active for a full year. So that's going to cost you $60. I think you get the first month for free. But one thing I found out about Robinhood Gold that kind of like makes up for this fee is that Robinhood Gold gives you $1,000 of free margin. So I don't usually mess around with margins. I'm not like a big trader by any means, but $1,000 of free margin means Robinhood is not charging you interest on that margin. They're basically giving you a $1,000 loan for free while you have Robinhood Gold active. So how you can make that work in your favor with zero risk is to take that $1,000 that they lend you and buy SGOV, the short-term treasury ETF. So SGOV earns whatever the treasury rate is, and that's roughly 5%. So if you put your $1,000 and you just buy SGOV with it, that's going to earn 5% or $50 in a year, which basically covers your gold membership completely risk-free. And so when you cancel your gold membership after a year, just remember to undo your margin position in SGOV. But otherwise, just a very, very simple process. I just did that for my P2 and I'm about to do it for myself. But yeah, tallying up brokerages, it really was just Robinhood for us in March, but that's all we needed because it ended up being $13,618 that posted tax-free into our retirement account. Moving right on to credit cards. The first one we're going to talk about real quick is the Robinhood Gold Card. I swear this podcast is not being sponsored by Robinhood, but they've really just been marketing the crap out of their products and putting some really interesting, attractive promos out there. So the Gold Card is going to offer 3% cash back on anything. So 3% cash back across the board. It's a pretty crazy card. And so I've been debating whether or not to open it. It's waitlist only right now. So I added myself to the waitlist and it will take up a 524 slot, which is the only reason I am not like, of course, I'm going to open it. But 3% is about as good as it gets when you consider the fact that it's 3%, no categories, everything. And they're saying it's going to be unlimited, like no cap on the amount you can get back with 3%. So of course, this is Robinhood and it's a wait list. So it very much could just be a may not even ever launch kind of a thing. But if it does launch and you end up getting it and you're able to find a way to generate spend that costs less than 3%, it's basically like printing money. So yeah, I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, we'll talk about it more probably when it actually launches. The other gimmicky thing they're doing with the card to, I guess, drum up interest is that they're like going to ship out a solid gold version of the card to a few people. I think it's going to be like worth $1,100 of gold because it's like 14 karat gold that they're going to make the card out of if you refer 10 people to join the waitlist and join Robinhood Gold as well. Unclear like how many they're really going to make or if the whole thing launches at all, but if you want to get me a gold card, I'll put my referral link on the website. And if it ends up happening, I promise to post a photo and probably a video as well of me melting the card down into the actual gold. So yeah, that's hopefully some added incentive. But Robinhood aside, let's get back to some actual credit card companies and churns. The big one being Amex, because Amex has been going crazy with their offers lately. Like, really, really good offers. Amex Business Platinum is now at an all-time high of 250,000 Amex points for $15,000 of spend. Like, I remember being really excited a month or two back, even a couple weeks back, about pulling up a 190,000 Business Platinum offer via like a VPN through Dallas and Chrome or Safari incognito and having my friends do the same and like telling them you should apply for 190 because that's really good. And then of course, like a week or two later, we now have pretty reliable methods of pulling up the 250,000 point offer. And on top of that, Amex has been running the referral promo where if you refer someone, you get 10x on dining. So 10 points extra on dining for the person who's doing the referring. So, you know, if you refer from a business gold that already earns 4x on your top categories, so let's say your top category was dining, then you get another 10x on top of that. You're earning 14x on dining, 14 points per dollar on dining, which is absolutely crazy. So we'll cover both of those in more depth in a little bit, but first I wanted to address a couple comments and questions that came up in the last recap when I was talking about all the credit cards I'm opening, which is basically like, how do you get all of your spend? Like, how are you meeting spend for these bonuses? And are you like paying for spend? Does your spend cost you any money? And if it does, you should probably factor that in to the monthly recap numbers. So totally valid questions. And so I wanted to run through a little bit about how I approach meeting minimum spend. You know, I generally prefer not to use options that cost money. So a big option that is pretty popular for folks is paying taxes. So you can pay your taxes with a credit card. It's just that they'll charge you, I think, around 2%, a little over 2% as a fee. But you can use your Amex card, your Chase card, any card, and that's a totally legitimate way of generating credit card spend. But it does cost money, and so it's not my first go-to method. I would prefer, you know, over that, like doing buying groups, which I did an episode on, I think episode 51, or Kroger Fuel Points, which I did another episode 47 on. But my favorite option is just straight up bank funding, like funding a bank account with your credit card. For example, right now, you can open a business bank account with US Bank and fund that with $3,000. And that even takes Amex. So you could put $3,000 on your Amex to fund the business bank account at US Bank. And you can even open multiple business bank accounts at US Bank and fund that $3,000 multiple times. So US Bank, their personal accounts used to also accept a $3,000 of credit card funding, but that's since been reduced to, I think, only $500. And that's the thing with bank funding, is that there's always like this push-pull effect where they'll offer it, a lot of people do it, and they decide it's not worth the cost to the bank, and so they end up nerfing it. The really big one that I'll share here that was kept private, and now I think it's pretty public, so I think it's pretty safe to share, plus the fact that it died. But before it died, it was a really amazing option, which was KeyPoint. So KeyPoint is a credit union. They, for a while, was offering like $2,500 of credit card funding, and you can open like a checking account or a saving account and fund that with $2,500, or you can open a CD, a certificate, for $2,500. Well, sometime in, I think it was February, they randomly increased that from $2,500 to $15,000 when you open a new account with them. And Matt, over on our private Discord, I think was actually the first person to discover this, because he was randomly just happened to be opening the KeyPoint account one night, and he sent us a screenshot being like, "Hey guys, it says $15,000 now. Is that like, are we all seeing the same thing?" And of course, we all went to check, and yep, it had increased like overnight. Someone decided a KeyPoint, let's allow $15,000 of credit card funding. And you can kind of imagine what happened next is that we all did it. It spread to other groups. It's on DOC now. It's on Reddit. And everyone was slamming KeyPoint with $15,000 of credit card funding, because what an easy way of meeting and generating credit card spend. And then within like a month or so it actually lasted quite a while, like a month, a good month, where you were able to just open as many certificates with KeyPoint as you wanted to for $15,000 of credit card funding. And it ended up dying. They reduced it back down, I think now to only $500. So completely killed it. But that's just sort of how it goes with churning. You know, new opportunities will come up, they'll die, other opportunities will come around. And it was good while it lasted. But usually when things get shared very publicly, like on Reddit, rChurning, Doctor of Credit, or blog, or even a podcast, they tend to die really quickly, which is why we have a private Discord to chat about some of the more sensitive deals that are out there. But yeah, bank funding is definitely my favorite go-to for meeting credit card spend. There's a new app currently, Pepper. I covered it a little bit in the last recap, but that's currently my new favorite. It's a way of buying gift cards at a very heavy discount, and I'll cover that more in depth once we get to the discounts and freebies part of this recap. But hopefully that helped a little bit to answer some questions and give you some ideas for how to get sign-up bonuses, even if your expenses are fairly low. But getting back into some of these credit card churns, so the 250,000 point Amex Business Platinum one, yeah, I just opened that in March. Really amazing offer, and I want to walk through how to generate that offer, how to pull it up, because it doesn't just show up organically for everyone. So the way I ended up getting it to pull up, and this is based on a lot of data points on the Discord from folks sharing how they were able to successfully get it to show up, because the Amex algorithm is very complex and very much a black box, is that with this offer, all you need to do is Google Amex Business Platinum, and you'll get the Google search results page with a sponsored and a non-sponsored link. I don't think it really matters which one you click. I think I use the non-sponsored link, and you'll click that, and it'll show you an offer of like 120,000 points or 190,000 points. And you just wait, leave that page, don't touch it, put it in a different like window if you're using a Mac, and just wait, I think around 20 minutes, and it'll time out. And after it times out, you have an option to refresh. Like Amex will show you like a button to like refresh your offer. You want to click that. And sometimes when you click that, the next offer they show you is the 250,000 point offer. Now, it doesn't always show that to you, and it can take a lot of trial and error. To give you some context, it took me about 2 full weeks of refreshing that page to get that offer to show up. I think a lot of people got it a lot quicker than that, but I was trying a bunch of different things, like using different browsers because Amex cares sometimes about what browser you're on, using a VPN because Amex cares sometimes about your location. It turns out with this one, it's actually a lot simpler. You don't want to use a VPN. All the data points I've seen have been with people not on a VPN that were able to pull up this offer. Additionally, this time it doesn't seem to matter really what browser you're using. I think Incognito is the go-to. I got it on Chrome Incognito. I've seen data points of people using Opera, Firefox, Safari. So less like browser dependent this time. So just Google it on Incognito without a VPN activated. So actually a pretty basic process, right? And just leave that open. Maybe you're at work, you have that open as a tab somewhere else. And then, you know, every 20, 30 minutes, just go back in and hit the refresh button. And eventually you should see that 250,000 point offer, which is an amazing offer. And you should definitely apply if you're eligible. So I'll be working on that spend for a little while. It's $15,000 with Amex, which is a little harder sometimes to get spend on than Chase or Visa. The other card I opened in March was the Lowe's Amex business card. You're probably like, why did you open that card? That card I opened because of that 10x dining referral. So if you recall, the way that 10x dining referral works is that the person referring you gets 10x, not the person joining. So what I did was my P2, my wife, she had that 10x offer. I think everyone right now has that 10x offer as a referral offer. So she referred me so that she could get the 10x. And it's 10x on dining on up to $25,000 of spend over the course of 3 months. And she referred me from her Amex Business Gold card. So it matters what card you're referring from because that is the card that's going to earn 10x. So you don't have to refer from an Amex Business Gold. It's just that the Amex Business Gold gives you 4 points per dollar on your top two categories each month. So if dining is one of those top two categories, you're going to get 4x points on top of the 10x from the referral for 14 points per dollar. If you referred from, let's say, your Amex Platinum, that's totally fine too, but you're just only going to get the 10x points from the referral and then the 1x points that you regularly earn with the Platinum card for 11 points per dollar total. So ideally, you're referring from the Business Gold. But the reason I opened the Lowe's business card when my wife referred me instead of some other card is because the referral offers as the person being referred are kind of crappy. Like, I think their business gold offer when you use a referral link is only 70,000 points, whereas you can pull up the 150,000 point business gold using the same method I described above, where, like, you know, you search for Amex Business Platinum in Google, and these days you don't even need a VPN to pull up the 190K Amex Business Platinum offer. And then from that page, you can navigate to the Business Gold. And if you're seeing 190,000 points for the Business Platinum, you'll most likely see the 150,000 point offer for the Business Gold, which is double that 70,000 point offer that you're getting via referral. So it just doesn't make sense to open one of these cards via referral when the only thing you need to do to trigger that 10x for your P2 is to open any card with Amex. So it's better just to open a burner card that you don't really care about, like the Lowe's business card. The kind of funny thing when I try to open that Lowe's business card too, though, was that I'm in pop-up jail for even the Lowe's business card, which in this case, it doesn't really matter if you're in pop-up jail or not for one of these cards you're opening because you don't need the sign-up bonus. I think the sign-up bonus for the Lowe's business card is like 5% back at Lowe's for 6 months. Like, who cares about that, right? So you just accept the pop-up saying, I won't get a bonus, and you open the card anyway. And then your P2 should get an email saying, hey, you've triggered the 10x dining referral offer and you'll be able to earn 10x points extra for the next 3 months. And that is the ultimate goal here. So we'll be working on that spend as well in the next few months. But what did post in March for P2 was the bonus for the Business Gold card that she opened, I think a couple, 2-3 months ago for the 150,000 point offer for $10,000 of spend. She got lucky because when she applied for that, she didn't get any pop-up. I guess it's been long enough since she'd opened a business card that Amex was like, yep, we want to approve you for one. So that was super easy. And she ended up getting the 150,000 points for the bonus plus 20,000 points from spend for a total of 170,000 Amex points for my P2 in March. Then I also got a bonus as well. So my Hyatt business card that I had opened posted. That was 75,000 Hyatt points for $15,000 of spend. I had quite a few Hyatt stays coming up later in this year, so I'm kind of considering making a run for Globalist. So that's kind of why I opened that card. Plus, you know, the changes in 2025 are that there are not going to be any more guest of honor phone bookings. 2024 is the last year to do guest of honor phone bookings. Phone bookings are great because you can do as many of them as you want if you're a globalist. Starting in 2025, the only way to book a guest of honor for, you know, your family or your friends is to gift them a guest of honor certificate. And you only earn three of those certificates when you hit globalist. And then you earn another certificate, I think, every 10 nights. But starting out, you only get those three, whereas right now, our globalist friend, Kung, over at kungflu.com, I mean, he's booking like a lot, definitely double digits. I want to say, have we hit triple digits in guest of honor bookings yet? I don't think we're quite that far yet, but he's been very busy for us in 2024. So appreciate you, Kung. But sadly, that gravy train is going to dry up starting in 2025. So now I kind of want globalist for myself so I don't have to rely on anyone for their limited guest of honor bookings. So yeah, it is what it is. But in terms of bonuses, I got the 75,000 points from the business card for meeting the sign up bonus plus 15,000 from spend for a total of 90,000 Hyatt points in March. Then I also had a couple Chase Inc. referrals. I referred my P2 to an Inc. card, and I want to say like a listener from the show maybe used one of my referrals. If that was you, definitely appreciate you because I ended up getting two of those for 80,000 points total, Chase points. Then there was also a couple Capital One referrals too. So big shout out to Teething for using my Capital One Business Venture X referral, plus someone else used one as well. So I'm guessing another listener. So I got two of those for 25,000 points times two, 50,000 Capital One points. And yeah, that was it for credit cards. Like tallying that all up, it was 170,000 Amex points from the gold card, 90,000 Hyatt points, plus 80,000 Chase points, plus 50,000 Capital One points for a total of 390,000 credit card points in March. Next up, we have banks. So a bit of a slow month for me for banks in March. I kind of prioritized credit card bonuses and brokerage bonuses more than banks just because they were so much more lucrative and neglected banks a little bit. I don't love neglecting banks, but you can't churn everything all the time unless you want to, you know, spend 40, 80 hours a week churning. But yeah, I got a couple bonuses though from Upgrade, the Upgrade checking account. So that's the one where you get $200 for depositing $1,000. So super easy bonus, and I think it's pretty popular with folks because it is so easy. And I got six referrals from that between myself and P2. Each referral is worth $50. Six of those, $300. So thank you for everyone who used the Upgrade referrals because I'm officially maxed out now on Upgrade referrals. They cap it at 10 referrals per offer that they do. So what I've been actually doing for the last few weeks is I've been rotating in Upgrade checking account referrals from the Discord. I was kind of inspired by Frequent Miler. So what Frequent Miler does is they post member referrals on their referral page, which they source from, I think, Facebook. In our case, I'm just sourcing these from the referrals channel on Discord. Just kind of going down the list, and every couple of days I'll switch it out for someone else's referral link. I don't know how many have been used or not used. Hopefully a few of you got a nice surprise with an extra Upgrade referral. But yeah, got $300 from bank referrals in March. Moving right on to meal kits. So really, really interesting month for meal kits because there's a new meal kit out there. I mean, I guess they're not new, but new to me that I haven't churned before, which is surprising. And that's Marley Spoon. So they're the meal kit that's partnered with Martha Stewart. So you can kind of get a sense for what kind of meals they are. Pretty bougie, really good recipes though. And taste-wise, I mean, out of all the meal kits I've done, and I've done a lot, like I've cooked at this point hundreds of meal kits, if not close to 1,000, and tried tens of different meal kit companies, This one hands down wins in terms of quality, ingredients, and just general taste. I mean, really, really impressed with Marley Spoon. And it's like, I've been getting Marley Spoon flyers for over a year, I think, and I just kind of ignored them. Like, the sign-up offer wasn't that interesting. I don't think the deal was that good. But I think in March, or was it end of February, one of our Discord members, NSF, he has gotten us all into Marley Spoon. So massive hat tip to him, because he figured out some creative workarounds to really maximize that Marley Spoon sign-up offer, where you can end up getting essentially a $200 box for only $11 shipping. One of the caveats, though, is that you do need a referral to get that first free box. And Marley Spoon referrals are surprisingly hard to come by, because Marley Spoon, now that I have an account, I can see they only let you generate one referral at a time. And most likely you're just like referring your P2 or someone, you know, versus posting them publicly on the internet. But luckily I got one from NSF. I also referred my P2, so she also got her box recently. It's just been really good, and everyone on the Discord has also been very excited about Marley Spoon. I think we've just become like a Marley Spoon circle jerk channel at this point. But if you need referrals, check out the Meal Kits channel on the Discord, and someone can definitely hook you up. I mean, it's a really great box. I'm going to count these more than I usually count them in terms of a discount. Usually I'm just like, one of these boxes, when I get it for free from HelloFresh, it's worth maybe $50, even though I'm getting like $200 worth of food from HelloFresh. In this case, that box is definitely worth $100. It would have cost $200 if you paid for it out of pocket, but to me, the quality of the food, I would have paid $100 for that box. Instead, I got it for free. So got two of those in March. I'm going to count that as two $100 savings for a total of $200 in meal kit savings in March. Finally, we have discounts and freebies. Pretty busy March for discounts and freebies, largely because of the Pepper app. So it's definitely worth trying. It's the one I talked about in the previous recap, where you can buy the gift card through an app and they give you 5% cash back on the gift card you're buying. So for example, let's say you buy a $100 Amazon gift card. Pepper would give you $5 back, which is 5%, and you can use your credit card to buy that gift card in the first place, including Amex cards. So you're earning points from your credit card on top of the 5% cashback, and ideally you're also meeting a minimum spend, which makes it even more lucrative. But it gets better, because they ran a promo that gave you double cashback for 30 days if you joined using a referral. So instead of only getting $5 back when you spend $100 at Amazon, you get $10 back. Or if you spend $1,000 at, let's say, Walmart, that only costs you $900 because you get $100 of cash back. Or if you spend $10,000 at Home Depot, that only costs you $9,000 because you get $1,000 of cash back. So you kind of get the idea of how this can potentially scale up very quickly. And these gift cards that you buy, you can either use them for yourself or resell the gift cards either directly or through a buying group. And you should be able to at least make up 90% of the face value, which is also how much you paid. So it ends up being a break-even thing, except you're also earning credit card points and sign-up bonuses on top of that. So in our case, we just bought a few thousand of like Amazon and Home Depot and PetSmart, basically stores that we frequent quite a lot, and just stocked up. You know, if you just calculate how much money you think you're going to spend at, let's say, Amazon or Walmart in the next 3 to 6 months, it's probably quite a lot of money, right? And so just buy the gift card equivalent of that on Pepper while the double cashback is active. Now, in the last recap, I wasn't that excited about Pepper in the sense that the double cashback had died. The 30 days was no longer being offered where they were giving you 10% cashback. So I wasn't really trying to like convince people to sign up for it, but it is back again. So they've reinstated that promo, except now instead of 30 days, it's only 15 days where you get double 10% cashback. But 2 weeks, I mean, that's still pretty great if you have like a sign-up bonus that you need to meet. Just make sure you spend all the money you need on these gift cards in that 2 week time frame. And if you're newer to Pepper, or this is the first time you've heard of it, there are a couple things to keep in mind, one being that Pepper has a $2,500 per day limit on how many gift cards you can buy. Now, you can contact them to increase that if you're going really hard. So that is definitely viable. But that said, some retailers are limited to just $500 a day, $2,000 a week, and there's no way to increase that. For example, Best Buy. Unfortunately, there isn't like a list of these vendors. It's sort of just trial and error. You just try buying it. And if you're hitting limits, then you know it's one of these vendors that are limited. Luckily, at least I can confirm with Home Depot and Amazon and PetSmart, they are not limited at $500 per day. Another thing to note is that the double cashback, the 10% cashback for 15 days, that is only available via referral. So you don't want to just sign up without a referral. You need to enter a referral code during signup, and the person referring gets $20, and then you get the 10%, the double cashback. So the other part is that you need to spend $100 to activate the offer. So just go in and actually buy something, like buy a gift card for $100, otherwise the offer won't activate. Then in terms of the bonuses posting, you won't see that additional 5% post into your account until after that 15-day period is over. So on the 16th day, you're going to get Pepper coins posted into your account. So the way Pepper does cashback is via coins that you redeem. It sounds more complicated than it is, but basically you won't get those coins until that offer period is over. So don't expect to see the extra 5% as you're buying the gift cards. Additionally, for the person referring, you won't see that $20 until that 15-day period ends as well. And then when that $20 referral bonus posts, it posts not as coins, but as anywhere cash. I'm not sure why they went with that method instead. It's functionally the same thing, coins or anywhere cash. You just redeem for gift cards because you can't cash any of this stuff out of Pepper directly. The way you cash it out is to buy gift cards. And one thing I read that's a little concerning is that the anywhere cash you get from referrals, apparently that expires in 2 weeks after receiving it. Now, I haven't seen anywhere on Pepper like mentioning that, but I think I saw a comment somewhere either on DOC or the Discord where someone was like, yeah, it expires after 2 weeks and then you have to email Pepper to get that reinstated. So just to be safe, ideally, you know, as soon as you get the coins or the anywhere cash, just use it. Don't store it, you know, just turn it into gift cards. In our case, we just bought a bunch of Amazon gift cards and cashed it out via Amazon because to us, Amazon is as good as cash. But yeah, that's a quick and dirty on how to use Pepper and why it's good for minimum spend. If you need a referral to Pepper, I have all of my referrals on thedailychurnpodcast.com/referrals. In March, I ended up getting one referral for referring my P2 and then another 8 from the listeners. So thank you very much because that was 9 referrals total for $180 in anywhere cash, which we converted straight into Amazon. We also went on a bit of a burger eating spree in March because there were a couple really good burger deals. So the one that sadly has ended is the Shake Shack Smoke Shack burger that was free with any $10 purchase at Shake Shack. So essentially a buy one, get one free on Shake Shack burgers. And we love their burgers. I mean, they're really, really good quality meat and ingredients. I'd say one of probably the best quality burgers you can get that's in that category. But they're kind of pricey when there's no deal. I mean, you end up paying, I think, we pay like $25 for 2 burgers and a drink and fries. So without the promo, definitely we don't really go there. But with the promo, we ended up doing it twice. Almost did it 3 times, but kind of felt my veins getting a little bit thicker. So we held off there because you could use that code as many times as you want during that period of like 2 weeks. Which was kind of amazing, you know, there was no cap, but also amazing because every time in line while we're waiting, then there's always a line. There's always like 10, 15, 20 people in front of us. And I kind of just watched them use the kiosk. No one was entering the code for the free burgers. Everyone was just buying multiple burgers and no one was entering it just for like, literally, it's free money for a free burger and no one was doing it. And it kind of just reminded me about this whole churning thing where most people don't do it or don't know about it or don't think to do it. Like, we really are in the 1% of people when it comes to getting things for free and earning points and flying for free and booking a war. Like, the whole game is centered around just we're the 1% of the 1% of folks who actually go out and seek this to maximize these things. And yeah, I don't know. It just like reminded me just to, I guess, be grateful that I discovered this and that we're able to do all these things and save all this money, because the majority of the population are not doing it. And you sometimes forget that that's the case when you're in this kind of churning echo chamber, listening to a churning podcast on the churning Discord. So yeah, anyways, we ended up doing that a couple times, two free burgers. They're worth like $8 each. So saved $16 at Shake Shack. The other burger deal that we've been doing, which is still alive, is the Wendy's deal. So Wendy's is letting you on the app redeem an offer each week for a $1 Dave's single burger or $2 Dave's double burger. And you can do that once a week until April 10th. So I think you've got another week of it when this episode comes out. So usually it's $7 for a Dave's double versus paying $2 with this deal. So if you like Wendy's, which we do, it's a really great deal. But similar to Shake Shack, it's crazy to think people are paying like $7 or $8 after tax for this burger. Like, I don't think the Wendy's Dave's double is worth $8. I'd rather get a Shake Shack at that price. But for $2, it's pretty good. I mean, generally, like, fast food prices are kind of surprising to me these days, because the other fast food place we like is just McDonald's. I know, we basic, but McDonald's has the great, like, app deals, which I did an episode on, I think episode 40, on how to get those secret McDonald's menu deals. So I'm still used to paying just a dollar or two for my fast food. But I forget the full price now is like what restaurant food used to cost like a decade ago. So pretty crazy. We ended up doing it twice because you can do this offer every week via the app. And it's key that you use the app versus doing it in person, because the times I've tried to use Wendy's offers in person, the scan thing never works. And it always ends up with them calling a manager over who has to apply the whole thing manually. Like, it's a whole thing, you know? So instead, we just order them from mobile pickup. And yeah, in March, I did two burgers for me, two for P2. So four burgers total, saved $5 on each of those burgers for $20 in savings. Finally, we have a couple other easy discounts that I did in March. So Amazon was doing their big spring sale event at the end of March. And anytime Amazon does an event like that, like let's say Prime Day or Prime Day 2 or a big spring sale, they tend to refresh their Amazon Amex offer. That's the offer where you can redeem one Amex point and get like 30% off at Amazon up to $100. So up to $30 back, basically. Most people get retargeted again whenever one of these sales happen. But depending on how they target you, it sounds like some folks are stuck at only getting 10% back when they use one Amex point. Some are really lucky and see 40 or 50%. In our case, my P2, she always consistently gets that 30% offer. So worth checking just to see if you've been retargeted. I'll link to that link in the show notes where you can activate the offer and see if you've been targeted. But for us, we just got the $30 back from Amazon using one Amex point. Then I also got a Top Cashback payout. So Top Cashback is just one of those shopping portals, kind of like Rakuten or RebatesMe. We use that occasionally. You know, you go to cashbackmonitor.com and just see which place has the best cashback. And occasionally it's Top Cashback. That's pretty much the only reason time when we use it. I think this payout was mostly comprised of getting like VPNs for free. That's sort of Top Cashback's specialty. So if you go on their website, they'll tell you, you know, what offers are out there, what's giving the most cashback. And usually you'll see a VPN service on there that gets 100% or more cashback. So they're basically paying you to sign up for VPN. And it's useful to have a VPN for things like Amex or getting ANA flight bookings during Tokyo time. A lot of different reasons why you might want a VPN, and not paying for it, getting it for free through Top Cashback is the way to go. So I ended up getting, I think it was like $81 of payout from Top Cashback if you redeem it for a Visa gift card, because they give you a 5% bonus if you redeem it for Visa. And then I usually just reload that Visa prepaid right into Amazon. So yep, $81 through that. And lastly, in March, I got my P2, a new MacBook Air M3. If you follow Apple News, that's the one that just came out in March. And I've been waiting to buy that one for a few months now because what I did was I stocked up on Apple gift cards during Cyber Monday via Citi, because Citi sells Apple gift cards on their shopping portal. And every Cyber Monday, they discount the Apple gift cards by 20%. So instead of it costing 10,000 points for a $100 Apple gift card, it only costs 8,000 points during Cyber Monday. And the way they usually do it is around Black Friday, it discounts to 10%, then it increases to 15%, and then by Cyber Monday, it's at the high of 20%. So make sure you're patient and you wait till Cyber Monday. And that's what I did last November, where I cashed out 96,000 Citi points for $1,200 of Apple gift cards. Usually that would have cost 120,000 Citi points, but because they were discounting it, it only cost 96K. And I had the Rewards Plus Citi card, which gives you 10% back on your Citi points redemptions up to 100K per year. So I got 10% back. So instead of it costing 96K, it really only cost about 86K for that $1,200 worth of Apple gift cards. So really great value there. And I've just been sitting on those gift cards waiting for the M3 MacBook Air to release, which, by the way, if you are sitting on a bunch of Apple gift cards, the Apple Store only lets you use 8 gift cards at a time, and I had 12 of them. And I found out that the workaround is you can load gift cards into your Apple balance, and your Apple balance has a max of $2,000. So I was just able to load all 12 into my Apple balance, and then you can apply your balance during checkout versus trying to apply these gift cards individually during checkout. So that's how you get around that 8 gift card limit on the online store. And yeah, that's how I got my P2, a new MacBook. She was using like a 2015 11-inch MacBook. They don't even make those anymore. So she definitely loved the upgrade. The M3 chips are really insane. Like if you're, you know, even remotely interested in Apple, the M chips are just, okay, I'm not gonna fanboy over Apple too much, but yeah, got her a new MacBook. Nothing really even to count discounts wise because I just redeemed points. I guess it was just a quick little Apple brag that we got P2 a new MacBook Air basically for free, thanks to Citi Points. But tallying up discounts and freebies in March, it was the $180 of Pepper referrals, $16 of Shake Shack discounts, $20 from Wendy's, $30 on Amazon, and $81 from the top cashback payout, for a total of $327 in discounts and freebies in March. All right, so tallying everything up, it was $13,618 from Robinhood for brokerages. For credit cards, there was 390,000 points from Amex, Hyatt, Chase, and Capital One. Then for banks, just $300 from Upgrade with Meal Kits, $200 from Marley. Discounts and freebies, we had that $327 for a total of $14,445 plus 390,000 points. What a massive month. I mean, obviously Robinhood really contributed towards a lot of that. I guess if we subtract Robinhood, it would have been $827 in cash and the 390,000 points versus 14,000. I mean, still pretty decent even without Robinhood, but Robinhood probably going to be the biggest churn of the year with that kind of a bonus. And yeah, if you haven't done Robinhood, I mean, even if you don't have tons of money to transfer over, moving in like $10,000, you're still getting 3%, like $300, which is still an amazing deal. So yeah, I guess I could probably just relax and take the rest of the year off when it comes to churning, but April is shaping up to be pretty busy too, especially with taxes coming up. So that's going to be a fun recap. But as always, you know, if you want to look up any of these things that we talked about today, there's going to be show notes at thedailychurnpodcast.com. There's also the live churn tracker if you want to see all of the churns happening as I'm doing them. The free newsletter if you want to get these show notes delivered into your inbox, and of course our paid private Discord community if you want to go deeper on some of these topics. So definitely check it out if you haven't yet. It's all at thedailychurnpodcast.com. Otherwise, I'll catch you all next time for another deep dive episode, assuming I don't die doing my taxes this week. So thanks again for tuning in. Good luck with your taxes, and yeah, see you next time. Bye.